Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. It's the 19th day of May, and this week I've been through quite a bit. I'm not saying that as a complaint, but I've been through quite a bit. And I'm asking myself, you know, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? Why is this stuff coming on me? And I was reminded that this is a month of May. I was further reminded May, specifically, May 23rd, 1983, the ministry of Gene Scott was attacked so greatly that the vehicles with which his voice carried the message to Hartford, Connecticut, to San Francisco, California, where I was, to Los Angeles, both by television and radio, were taken away by the Federal Communications Commission. We're talking about television broadcast and radio broadcast licenses that at the time were valued over $1 billion. And without a court of law in this country hearing the case, this government agency sought to destroy the ministry, the voice of Dr. Gene Scott. And throughout the rest of his ministry, we were reminded every May of what the devil attempted to do to this, not his words, my words, most precious ministers and ministries God had ever raised up. In one night, wiped out. I was there at the stroke of midnight when the television screen went blank. And so I'm reminded today, and am going to share with you one of those annual messages that Dr. Scott gave, because they were signposts. They were encouragement to every Christian who is on this journey of faith. I want to start out in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 12th verse. It says, Let's go, let's start out in the 10th verse. Paul is writing to a young minister, Timothy. He says, "But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." My hesitation is, it was that taking away of those broadcast licenses from Dr. Scott's ministry that launched the ministry worldwide, until at his death, it was the most powerful voice in the airwaves in the history of the earth. I'm not going to go into details, just trust me on that statement. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea," listen to what Paul has to say in this 12th verse, "yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Let me take some of the mystery out of this adverb, godly, and tell you what the word means. It's eusebius. Now, in the first chapter of Romans, in that 18th verse, there is that word translated ungodliness, wherein it is said the wrath of God is revealed against ungodliness. Here we have the word godly, eutebius. It means awareness of the presence of God. Yea, all that will live with an awareness of the presence of God. Where? In Christ Jesus. That's the operation of God and the consummation of the gospel, wherein we are in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. Now, this word persecution the root of which means to pursue. Now, we spent months in that wonderful epistle of Paul to the Galatians, excuse me, where the declaration is made, we are set free by God, and the god of this world, that is the devil, you know, picture inmates in a prison. You know, nobody's concerned about all the little do's and don'ts in the prison, as long as the inmates are in the prison. But let one get out, and every power that the prison and the state can employ will be used to pursue that escaped prisoner. I haven't gotten to Dr. Scott's message yet. Hold on. Yea, and all that will live with an awareness of the presence of God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When you become a Christian, warfare ensues. Not only from the devil, not only from the world, but also from our own flesh. God says those kinds of people who live with an awareness of His presence shall suffer persecution. Well, that's not a very encouraging message, Don. Are you giving us doom and gloom? I'm not. Let's finish the message. Deuteronomy 33:25. This comes out of Moses' blessing of the tribes of Israel. In particular, this is the blessing he blessed Asher with. But we, as Christians, know, or should know, that 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that all the promises of God are in Him, that is, in Jesus, yea, and in Him, where are we? In Christ Jesus, and in Him, amen. And as we have taught often here, that word, although most commonly translated, so be it unto you, or so be it, as though it's kind of a hopeful, willing statement, is oftentimes attributed to God and to Jesus. And the essence of the word is no doubt. So it says all the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. That is no doubt. That is our license as Christians, as those who are in Christ Jesus, as those who might be suffering now, to grab hold of the promises of God. And today we're going to look at these promises out of the Song of Asher. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Doesn't say bedroom slippers, folks. It doesn't say, you know, tennis shoes. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. First thing we need to look at is the purpose for shoes. Shoes are made for walking. The implication is we're on a journey. Peter says we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. It says in the Hebrew letter, we're pursuing that city whose founder and builder is God. We have eternal purposes. And we're on a journey. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. The implication here is they're not going to wear out. We're trying to communicate spiritual things. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy day, so shall thy strength be. You know, folks, it doesn't say here, as thy year, so shall thy strength be. It doesn't say, as thy month, so shall thy strength be, although we're talking about a month of May here. Stay with me. It doesn't say, as thy week, so shall thy strength be. It says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. This is a message that through some of the things that I've been suffering, particularly this year, through the understanding of some understanding of what's going on, these promises contained in Deuteronomy 33 have become a daily hope, a daily opportunity of faith to grab hold of these promises and make them mine. I might be on this end of the microphone, you might be on that end of the speaker, but I assure you, this journey we're all on, I believe, as we said, or as Dr. Scott, as we quoted him last week, you know, it's not as though I've attained. But this promise is personal. It's personal to me. And as one like you who will live godly, that is, live with an awareness of the presence of God in Christ Jesus, it should be personal to you also. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. No quitting at night. Doesn't say anything about night. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Let's go on. The 27th verse says, the eternal God is thy refuge. Many times, this phrase, the eternal God, is translated the God of the forefront. It means that God is on the corner before we get there. And he is our refuge. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. The eternal God, the God of the forefront, the God who's on the corner before we get there, it's our place of rest. In that letter to the Hebrews, it says there remaineth a Sabbath. And to many and to most, a Sabbath is rest. We rest. Not only do we grab hold of, but we rest. We have no doubt in the promises of God. His word is our rest. I struggle with this. There's a struggle going on, but there is also a rest in his promises. Dr. Scott used to use the phrase in reference to this, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. You know, he says, nobody ever had a nervous breakdown about how do you put it? People are always worried about tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes, for when tomorrow comes, it's today. Today, it says, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, for the inward man is being renewed day by day, and as thy strength show, so shall, or as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And we walk with an awareness of the presence of God, that he's traversed the path before us. He's on the corner before we get there. And it goes on to say, and underneath all, are the everlasting arms. Dr. Scott used to say, because this Hebrew language is a picture language, try to picture in your mind bottomless. Now, if your state is such that you are so low that you can't get up, this promise of God says, and you haven't reached bottomless yet, but this promise is, if you could picture bottomless and you're there, it says, even underneath bottomless, are the everlasting arms. I thank God that, as I believe the devil, through all that he had that month of May back in 1983 at the ministry of Gene Scott, I am grateful his efforts didn't fail. I mean, that was a long time ago. 36 years. I was, if you would, a babe in the faith at that time. I've grown a little bit since then. That attempt to destroy that ministry, I'm here to proclaim today, not that I think anything of myself as though I were something. But having watched God through the faithfulness of the people to whom God had called to the ministry of Gene Scott, that the message of the gospel, the good news of God, might continue and explode into a worldwide ministry. Having seen the value of that ministry, Dr. Scott put forward the opportunity of the recipients, the beneficiaries, if you will, of the ministry God gave him, having heard, and by the gift of faith, by his grace, that those messages, that the message that God's faithful servant delivered to his congregation, and it is continuing through this ministry, I ask that you all make a special offering this month just to stick it in the eye of the devil. He or she who brings persecution about to the children of the free, that you make an offering this month. If you have benefited from that message, which 36 years ago the devil attempted to destroy, that's the God School for today.